All right, hey, welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is April the 7th, 2025. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. I hope it's great wherever you were at. It's raining, it's freaking overcast, and it's terrible outside, but it's still beautiful, right? It's all in the mind. Yesterday was such a great day yesterday. I mowed the lawn. I got the irrigation system up and running. Did all sorts of projects around the house, really getting ready for spring. And then it rains today. I mean, it's been raining freaking steady all day. So I'm sure it's important. I appreciate the rain. I love it. It's all good. It is a beautiful day, and I hope everyone is doing well. It is Monday. Back to work, sort of. Had a kind of a interesting day today. I had a couple clients booked. Usually don't work on Mondays. One client was, she's leaving. She's moving to Florida. Been doing her hair for 18 years, and she is leaving. Her husband has passed away, and she's ready to go down to Florida and be with her brother and stuff. So I did her hair. I came in because she's leaving tomorrow. Actually, she's leaving Wednesday. And just could not fit it in. So I said, I'll come in for you on Monday. All the things that she's done for me, all of the services I've been able to do on her, and just been a great relationship. And I'm sad to see her go, but I totally understand. So I went in, did her hair, and then I was supposed to do another lady's hair this afternoon, and for some reason she did not show up. So I came home, and I thought maybe I'll do a podcast and see if I can catch up. Yeah, I've been having everything, you know, I'm definitely feeling a lot better. I know I shared quite a bit about not feeling well. Definitely feeling a lot better, coming through it finally. And my spirit feels better, and I've been trying to mix it up a bit. I don't know if I shared on this podcast. I definitely shared in a meeting. I am bored with meetings, and so I'm having to sort of try and get creative and mix it up a bit. I've been going to that noon meeting. I was not able to make that meeting today, and so I'm going to go tonight. I'm going to go back to the meeting that I was trying to avoid. Not that I'm avoiding it. I just need to mix it up. The voices get loud, and when that starts happening, man, it's one thing, in the past I would do a lot of stupid shit and then do it again, right, and be like, I can't believe I've done this again, and I've fallen for this trap before. I've gone down this path where these great voices in my head telling me, you know, these things, like I don't need to go to the meeting anymore, or we'll find another meeting. And I just, you know, I've been around too long. I know what's up. So, but I do understand. I do need to mix it up. And so, that failed today. So I'll be going back to the Monday night meeting. The cool thing is I haven't been to the Monday night meeting in so long that it's going to feel good to go back to the meeting. It is going to be sort of a new meeting again tonight. And of course, one of the guys I'm sponsoring goes to that meeting. And we've been meeting on Sundays. I think I've shared that. We met this Sunday. We've been reading Steps. And I told these guys, because we've read the first three steps, and this week we were going to read the fourth step, and we read half of it. But, you know, I am not an expert sponsor. I am not a professional recoverer, right? I'm just a guy that's been through it a few times, and what I've learned in my past is, you know, I mean, one of the guys has, a couple months. The other guy's got a few months. And I'm like, for me, it's really, I don't think it's that important for us at this moment, right, to be jumping into the fourth step. I said, we can read it, but there's so many things that take place in the first three steps, right? And, I don't want to just go right over those. And then there's always people that feel like you got to get right into it. But as a guy, I remember when I first did the fourth step, I had no idea, right? I was just doing it because it was after the third step and I was supposed to, and it was supposed to be really terrible. And I just did it. And just like everything in my life, when I do it out of fear, right? Because if I don't do it, what else? Or else? I only do 75%. And it just didn't really, and I think that's the thing. I had expectations of something from the fourth step. And I really, you know, for me, what I've learned today is, you know, it's a great opportunity to learn about who, you know, as a person, we are. Upper Hand, Pearl Jam. Freaking, this is such a great album. I don't know if anybody's checked it out, but Dark Matter is a fantastic album. And another great song from that album. But yeah. Yeah, so I'm not a big fan of speeding into the fourth step. You know, there's so much good stuff in the first three steps. It's a great foundation for moving forward, right? Just the first step we admitted, right? You know, to surrender, to admit, it takes a group. There's a lot to it. Right? And I've, you know, and I've shared before, you know, I heard admitted and I heard alcohol and I heard unmanageable. And I'm like, yeah, I've done all of that. And I just assumed because of that, I should be labeled as an alcoholic. And the reality is I personally don't know if I had jumped through, over the line, right, to say that's it. I am powerless over alcohol, and my life is unmanageable. I am powerless over alcohol. And, you know, and then we get into the second step, and we just have to start trusting God. And I don't know if I ever shared the story about the time that I was going to open up this medical office. And there was a person, it was actually a medical marijuana office. And our job, the part I wanted to be involved in, was selling the medical marijuana cards. And a person that I knew, who I knew was out of her mind, nuts, you know, she had tried to do it. And I was like, oh, my God, what a great idea. I mean, it was like any person that needed a medical marijuana card, you needed a doctor, and you needed to pay $300. There was a line out the door of people. I'm like, what a great business, and I got to get involved, right? And she was involved with another person trying to do it, and that fell apart in a nutty, crazy way, and I should have seen the signs, the writing on the wall, but I went for it anyway, and I invested a bunch of money and got to the point where it was ready to open, and then the person just disappeared, wouldn't answer the phone, and just started running this business. And, you know, I was like, oh, my God. Right away, I am just incensed about the whole thing. I'm losing my mind. I'm freaking so pissed. Can't believe that this person, right, would do this to me. And I was going to make a ton of money. We were going to be rich. And it just wasn't working out. And unfortunately for her, the doctor, that was the tough part, finding a doctor. We did find a couple doctors, but, you know, they all knew she was nuts. And they kept saying, why are you involved in this? And I'm like, you know, I want to help people, right? And yeah, the doctors disappeared. So this person started acting like a doctor and signing papers. And anyway, the police got involved. I had by this time stepped away. I was like, I'm just going to cut ties because, you know, this is what you get when you dance with the devil. And the police ended up arresting her. Luckily, I was so separated from it, I was not involved in any of the bad stuff. But it was bad. And I was pissed, right? And a couple other, a friend of mine had gotten involved. And, you know, for the person's like, I can't believe this person did this to us, right? And was such a victim. And I was like, listen, well, there was a point before all this went down with the cops and stuff that I was so pissed and then beside myself because of the situation, I wanted to drive my car through the building and, you know, flatten her, flatten her out. And that's bad. You know, of course, I never did that, but the thought was there, right? And I really had to start learning how to pray. And dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. And I was just out of my mind at the time, and I just kept saying it over and over. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. And that was really the first situation where I really started to trust in God, right? Dear Lord, God, my shoulders, meaning me, I can't, aren't big enough, meaning I can't take care of this. I'm turning this over to you. I'm letting you know I can't do it, and I'm just going to put it in your hands, and I'm going to hope for the best. And it was weird, man. It was like magic. I would say this over and over, and the insanity in my mind would start to fade a bit. And, you know, when it was all said and done, you know, I had to, you know, recognize because this other person was like, "What? I can't believe this happened to us." And I'm like, you know, if I want to be honest, right, I'm going to be fair and honest about this. I got involved out of greed, right? I wasn't trying to spread health and happiness across the country. I was trying to make some of that green, and I thought I was going to make a lot. And so greed, right? The devil. The devil got involved. I listened, and I, even though 100 flags went up, right? I mean, the very first time I met this person, I'm like, that person is nuts. And I ignored all of it. I ignored all of it, and I chose to get involved into this business, even though I knew that this person was out of her mind. And it was because of greed. Greed and self got a hold of me, and I dove in. And so, once again, right, you know, I talked about in the other podcast, this is all, you know, I think, you know, the key to a lot of this is accountability. I said it the other day. I mean, until I can start taking responsibility and recognizing the part that I played in this situation, I'm just going to be a victim, right? And I was a victim for a few days over it. And this other person was absolutely a victim. And I said, listen, we got involved with this out of greed. You know, we were hoping to make some bank, and it didn't work out. Right? Too good to be true, right? My dad always used to say, if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. And this just looked too good to be true, but I couldn't steer away. And, you know, but that was really the first time I started to have to trust and believe in God and to recognize, you know, I am not God. I am just a dumbass. And there is a higher power, and I have to just let go and let him take care of it. And like I was sharing with those guys on Saturday or Sunday, you know, this is a real time where, you know, we have to start, you know, recognizing our issue, right? Start trusting in God. And then for the third step, we just have to start making better decisions, right? Those three things are pretty big, right? When I came into the program, I had not made a lot of good decisions, a lot of bad decisions. And I made a lot of decisions which may have looked good to other people, but really they were serving self, right? They were saving my ass, you know, just really lost. And, you know, those three steps are a good starting point to start practicing. And like I told those guys, this is, you know, one day at a time, but, you know, this isn't, we're not in a, like a 2-year window here. This is, you know, I'm in this for life. And, you know, as a person, I have 17 or 18 years, whatever I have. And this stuff still, these first three steps, right, still, you know, I can still stop trusting God. I can still make bad choices that reflect in my life, right? And I can still, you know, do things, right? You know, whether it's, you know, I admitted I'm powerless over trying to get into businesses where I think I'm going to make a lot of money with a person that's absolutely crazy and greed-filled, right? I mean, there's still self. And, yeah, I haven't had a drink or a drug in a long time, but, my God, do some situations still come up, still, you know, there's still opportunities that I use the first three steps all the time, right? We admitted we were powerless over self, and our lives have become unmanageable. And that's more how I look at the first step today, right? Because I don't drink, right? So I've kind of changed the word alcohol to self, because I tell you what, man, self gets you in a lot of freaking problems, and I'm trying to minimize that today. I don't want a lot of problems. But that's, you know, and so to my message to those guys was, you know, just, you know, let's be patient here, right? We read half the step, but it's a moral inventory, right? And so we start to, you know, like I've said before, you know, people say, this head of mine, or, oh, you know me, the, you know, this blank, I don't know even how to say it, but people, you know, instead of taking accountability for the exact thing that they did, they'll just say, you know, oh, you know how I am, right? And it's, no, we don't. Let's learn how we are. And it's a lot of pride and ego and all that other shit, and we learn that in the fourth step. You know, there's one person I know that she says that if you're going to do a fourth step, you should write down every encounter you've ever had with a human being on paper. I'm like, well, fuck. It's a lot, right? It's a lot. Maybe you should. I don't know. I did not. I did not write every account, every experience I had with a human on a piece of paper. But I wrote down a lot of them, right? You know, pride, ego, jealousy. It's all basically all the deadly sins, gluttony. You know, there's sort of the reason behind a lot of the dumb shit that we do and a lot of the bad decisions. We might as well understand it. Right. And I explained to him, you know, we do the fourth and we'll do that fifth and we'll share it. And you know, this is, you know, people say you can just take your fourth and your fifth and you, that's your, and for your eighth and ninth. And, you know, I don't know. We're in no hurry. You know, we're going to sit down and we're going to read it and we're going to talk about it and have an understanding. Right. And it was good. I'm really grateful for those guys. And I started counting that as a meeting. I'm not sure it is a meeting. We're the three of us and we're reading the big book and we meet for an hour. So it's a meeting. So, you know, I like to try to go to three meetings. I got my home group. I'm going to that meeting and I'm going to go to the meeting today or this evening. But if I can fluctuate between the evening meeting and the noon meeting on Mondays, that's three meetings a week and that's good. And so, yeah, that's what's been going on with that. The other thing that's been going on is just this, you know, my father, you know, my dad is, it's just, it's a big thing. And I know that anybody that lost a parent or is kind of in the process of losing a parent, you know, it's bizarre, right? It's a lot of emotions. It's sad. You know, I talked to my dad today and I went to my dad's house at my parents' house this morning and it's just filled with all of the memories of our life. And, you know, it bums me out. I called him. I'm like, yeah, it bums me out. And he's like, I know, it's just one of those things, you know, Tommy, it's one of those things. And I go, I know, but it's just, you know, some days it's just, it hits me harder. And, Yeah, I miss my mom. When I was there this morning, my dad had these kind of this poster made when my mom, I don't know what if it was her birthday, but it's just like all of these pictures of us as kids and her, and it's just I don't know. And then every time, you know, that house used to be so full of life, and it's not, right? I turned the internet off for that a couple of weeks ago. I felt like I killed the heart of the house. I mean, the electricity's still on, but it's, you know. And I have somebody come in and clean the place every few weeks or something. Not that it's dirty, just so there's no cobwebs or something. But, yeah, and part of me doesn't want to let it go. Part of me doesn't want to sell it. Yeah. But, you know, the cool thing is I got sober, and I experienced a lot of time with my parents sober, and that was cool. It's a lot better. It's such a much better experience with our folks when we're sober than when we're not, right? When I was not sober, I was a real pain in my parents' side, and I'm glad that our lives together didn't finish out like that, even for my brother. My brother's been doing well as well, and so I'm just grateful for that. But, you know, and then I'm like, God, when my dad does pass away, then they're gone, right? They've really gone. And, you know, the interesting thing is, as a person that was adopted, I should have already sort of kind of gone through these emotions because, you know, my birth parents, I've never known, right? I've never, never been with them. So this idea of, you know, your parents dying and then sort of leaving you, you know, bye-bye. I don't even know if my birth parents are even alive, honestly. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just sort of, I don't know what it is, but that's what's going on. And I'm just grateful I'm there for my dad. And the funny part is he's sort of doing pretty good. I saw him, we saw him this weekend, and he was sitting in his wheelchair. And he was kind of, you know, we were bullshitting around, and he was doing, you know, pretty damn good. So I was happy for that. And, yeah. All right. Well, maybe I can read a daily reflection. And, so next week we'll finish the second half of the four step. I don't know what step we're working on or what step we'll read tonight at the meeting. I'm sort of burned out on talking about the steps, but I am grateful for them, right? It is they're a miracle. And, yeah, so lucky. All right, let me see. What's a daily reflection? What is it today? And the politics shit is just driving me nuts, too. I'm having to keep my mouth shut. The owner where I work at, they hired a new person to come work, and I was talking to this person. They were saying, oh, this person's husband is, you know, this, right? This left, right? And he's very passionate about it. I'm like, oh, God. Because I'm not, right? I'm open to having conversation, but I'm just I hope my happiness at the salon isn't about to come to a screeching halt either. But we'll see. We'll keep it pleasant. Stay positive. All right, April 7th, a wide arc of gratitude. Ooh. And speaking for Dr. Bob and myself, I gratefully declare that had it not been for our wives, Anne and Lois, neither of us could have lived to see AA's beginning. Yeah. It is true. You know, it's funny when you think about, especially when you read the big book and, you know, the very beginning, it did seem to be like mostly, you know, and obviously a different type of situation back in those days. A lot of, you know, men worked and women didn't. And so men were out drinking and the women stayed at home, and they really didn't have any options, right? You just had to kind of deal with it. And, you know, it could be, because I, you know, when my first marriage, you know, I started drinking, and I was, you know, lying, I'll quit, and I'm going to quit, and I did, and then I drink again, I'm sorry. And then one day I came home drunk and woke up to an empty house, you know, and in those days, you know, in 2000, and I guess it was four, yeah, probably 2004. You know, there was options, right? She just bailed, went to her parents' house and got herself an apartment, and that was it. But back in the, you know, 30s and 20s, you know, you didn't have a lot of options. So these people really stuck by their husbands. That's pretty interesting. Let me see what it says. The AA Way of Life, page 67. Am I capable of such generous tribute and gratitude to my wife, parents, and friends without whose support I might never have survived to reach AA's doors? I will work on this and try to see the plan for my higher power is showing me which links our wives together in. Well, you know, I don't know if I shared this, but, you know, my wife was like, I don't understand how you're not, like, totally freaking out about your father passing away or getting close to passing away or whatever it is, or at least being in this state. And, you know, I've left nothing on the table when it comes to taking care of my parents. When my mom got sick, we went over there. You know, I would call my parents every day. But we would take the kids and we would go over to grandma's and see her every Sunday. We used to go to a meeting Sunday mornings at, I think it was at 9 to 10. And then after the meeting, we'd all load up in the car. And, you know, all the kids went to the meeting with us, right? They'd play outside or whatever, but they all went to the meeting. And then we would go straight over to Grandma Jean's and we would make her breakfast. And she had gone blind. And so we would make her breakfast, pancakes, scrambled eggs, bacon, whatever it is Grandma Jean wanted, and the kids would all come over, and we would, you know, make them breakfast and have breakfast with them. Even before my mom actually even went blind, because she went blind, I think it was like Thanksgiving of 2019, but we were going over there, you know, we'd go over there every Sunday. We'd just go spend time with my parents. You know, I had shared about how my dad and I used to sort of fight and argue, and finally one day I said, you know, Dad, that's it. No, we're not going to do that anymore. We don't have a lot of time together, and I'd like to break this habit of what, you know, him being critical of me, me being defensive, me, you know, storming out. It was like, let's just get along, man. Let's spend the rest of our, you know, whatever days we have left, you know, not fighting. And he's like, yeah, okay, I agree. And we never fought ever since then. We've never argued. And so we'd bring the kids over, and we spend a lot of time with my mom and dad. And then obviously when my mom went into long-term care, COVID hit, we could not see her, and unfortunately she died alone. But as far as my dad goes, we've been there, you know, during the pandemic when my mom sort of went into this place and my dad was sort of on his own. He came over, you know, every night. We cooked him dinner, you know, made sure he had groceries. We've done everything we can for, you know, that we're... And I have no regrets. In fact, I've loved every minute of it. I love it. But we haven't left anything on the table, and I haven't left anything on the table even through this part that we're transitioning through now with him being in the VA and going up there 3 days a week and sitting with him and taking care of all of his finances and, you know, whatever he needs, I'm doing. And same with my brother. And so, you know, when my dad does pass, I will of course be sad. But I will not feel like, you know, I won't be like that if I had just gone to see him, right? If I had just seen him one time, right? I talked to him twice a day. I'd go up 3 days a week or two to three days a week. And, you know, whatever he needs, he gets. And when he finally does head on to that next place, I'll be, you know, I'll be like, you know, we finished our life out good, right? We made that choice, and since then we haven't fought. And everything I can do keeps my dad a peace of mind. And that's all that I could have asked for. And I'm grateful for that. So, but anyway, I hope everybody is having a great day. I got to go cook some dinner, and then I'm off to a meeting. But I appreciate you letting me share. And I'll catch you later. Bye-bye.